I think it's a pretty well-known fact that every living thing requires some kind of food, some kind of nourishment, some kind of water to be able to survive. And that's from the tiniest plant to the greatest tree. It's from the tiniest insect to the biggest of animals. And it's also true of every human being. And God somehow provides for all of us. He makes it possible that there is something for every creature to eat. And he usually says there is an abundance if we're willing to share. So that's also part of the equation. But anyway, God provides for everything. And for us also. And we have to use our own ingenuity sometimes. We have to use our creativity, the talents, the gifts that God has given to us to know how to use these things, to plant them, to provide so that they can grow well and all this. We have to do our part also. But that's kind of the whole process. God always engages us in what he's doing. You know, it talked about the story from the book of Kings of Elijah. He was very disgusted with his job. Being a prophet was a tough job. And he reached the point where he was just very tired of it because he had had this episode where he had to prove that he was the true prophet against all of these false prophets. And in the process, he had to do something that he really felt very uncomfortable doing. He put all the false prophets out of business. The queen Jezebel was after him. She was a very hateful woman. And she was after him because she didn't like what he had to say and she wanted to kill him. So she's pursuing him. And so he reaches this point in the desert where he's exhausted, he's worn out, he sits down under this something of a tree, a broom tree, and he's ready to die. He says to God, just take me. I've had it, I'm done with all of this. And then he falls asleep. An angel of the Lord comes from God, taps him on the shoulder and says, get up and eat. You know, the reason he's starving to death, there's nothing there to eat. But all of a sudden there is food there for him. So the angel says, get up and eat. So he did get up and eat. Then he went to go back to sleep again. He wakes him up again. Get up and eat. And with that food, he had the strength that he needed to do this task of going to the mountain of God. It's interesting, the chosen people also, during all their wandering in the desert, 40 years, during all that time, God is feeding them every day. Now you imagine trying to feed, I don't know how many thousands of people and animals in the desert for 40 years. How do you take care of that mass of people? But every day, God provided. He always is providing something to nourish us. Of course, the people had to get up every morning and go out and collect the manna. And they were only supposed to collect so much to feed their family for that day because they had to learn to trust that God would again provide the next day. And the same with the birds that came and they were able to have meat and all that sort of thing. But the chosen people had to get up every day and go out and harvest what God had provided for them. So God, and you read the Old Testament stories, huh? How many times when Jesus is talking to somebody, it's at a dinner table, at a banquet table. And again, it's like he's not only feeding them, making sure they have something to eat to provide for their physical needs, but he's also feeding them in another way. And that's the part that we sometimes forget about in our lives. We usually take pretty good care of our bodies. We don't always take good care of our spirits. And remember when God made us, people, he made us in his image and likeness. There is something about us that can never die. Now this body of ours can die because it's made out of material. And material things can decay over time. And we know they do. But spiritual things don't die. So we are made of body and soul, body and spirit. And we have to nourish that spirit also. That is an integral part of what we are as human beings, made in the image and likeness of God. It is something like God. God is pure spirit. He gives something of that spirit to us, and that is in us, and it can never die. It will live for all eternity, with him or without him. But it will, our souls, our spirits will live for all eternity. And what our Lord is trying to tell us is that somewhere along the way, we have to feed that spirit. Because if we don't take care of the spirit, it also can wither up. It won't die, but it's never going to grow. It's never going to develop. It's never going to be what he wants us to be. He wants us to be his children, that he can welcome one day into his eternal kingdom. That's what he wants for us. That's what he's prepared for us. But again, respecting the fact that we are human beings and that he gave to us the right to choose, he offers to us what we need to sustain our spiritual lives. He offers that to us. And the first thing he said is, like he himself did when he was walked the face of the earth, how often he would go off by himself to the mountain alone to pray, to be in intimate communion with his Father. How often he showed us how important that was. When he had these banquets, when he talked to all these people, he would always give them something to nourish their spirit. So that it was, sometimes people came just for the food, and they didn't care about all the other stuff. They liked the big act that he put on. But as far as the spiritual things, sometimes they neglected or forgot about or didn't pay attention to that. But Jesus always had something to feed the spirit also. The way we find out about that is by communing with God. We talk about prayer a lot, but it is essential if we're ever going to grow in the image and likeness of God. It's essential if we're ever going to nurture that spirit that God gives to us and that is going to live for all eternity and that he has provided a place for us if we choose to accept it. So that we help to nourish that through that prayer. We learn from the sacred scriptures. Time after time we read about how our Lord says, sometimes we have to sacrifice, sometimes we have to die to ourselves, sacrifice so that something better can take place. And sometimes, anytime we give up something for the good of somebody else, for the benefit of somebody else, for the good of our own spiritual being, we grow. That's nourishment for us. And the Word of God teaches us how important that is. But we also have the example of the saints. See, modern saints, not the ones who lived years and years and years ago, although they all count, but say modern saints that maybe we're familiar with, like Archbishop Romero, who was killed because he was trying to defend the rights of poor, innocent people, trying to make the authorities recognize the dignity of every human being. And because he did that, he was killed. He was standing up for the principles that God has given to us, and he died for that. Mother Teresa said that she could not have done the work that she did. She said that the nourishment that kept her going, dealing with the poorest of the poor, dealing every day with the tiniest to the oldest, dying very miserable, painful deaths, where she got the courage to do that every day, she said, was the Eucharist. She said, without the Eucharist, she said, I couldn't possibly do what I do. It is that food from heaven, that Christ's life that comes to me in the Eucharist, that gives me what I need to do that kind of work. So we can learn from somebody like St. John Paul, our recent pope, now canonized a saint, how he stood up to the communists in Poland and literally defeated them. He didn't fire a shot. It was with the Word of God. But to have that courage and that spirit, he had to be nourishing that soul that is within him for a long time. And so our Lord says to us, I want to give you something special. I give you the opportunity to meet me in prayer. I give you the example of the saints. I give you my word, which you can look at every day of your life if you choose. But above all, I give you my body and blood. I give you, I am the bread of life, he said. If you want life within your spirit, you need the Eucharist. So he says to us, I give you myself. If you feed on me, that will nurture your spirit so that you can be what I want you to be, so that you can live and prepare yourself for a life of eternity of joy and happiness and peace with God. That's what he offers to us. It's a gift. It's the gift that he lays out. But like Elijah, like the chosen people, like all of the saints, you have to get up. You have to want that. We are here because we want that. We feel the need of being fed by our Lord, not only through his word, but also through the gift of the Eucharist. Do you know that in our Catholic Church in the United States of America, 75% of people who consider themselves Catholics do not go to Mass on a regular basis? 75%. And you wonder sometimes, do they have any idea of what they're kind of putting aside? It's like you take, you're invited to a big dinner, but you choose not to go for whatever reason. Maybe you want to watch TV. God wants to feed us. But how many times do people say, I don't think I really need that? How often we see that? Say in our own families. Every family has that problem today, that issue today. And I think, you know, sometimes we can anger them by pushing them. I don't think we hurt them by inviting them. I don't think we hurt them by talking about how extremely important the Eucharist is to us. They may not want to hear it, but at least we put it out there for them. But I think above all, we need to pray. We need to pray as a church, and we are the church. We need to pray for our fellow members who somehow or another do not feel that these gifts that our God gives to us with such generosity, that they just don't feel they're important enough for them to bother, or that they don't feel the need of them. It's very easy in our world today to become obsessed with material things, to become obsessed with money, to become obsessed with power, to become obsessed with just stuff. Stuff that is not going to save us for all eternity. I mean, when we go to the grave, all of that stuff is going to be left behind. But if we've nurtured that spirit that our Lord has created within us, then we know that when we pass from this life, we may not have all kinds of treasures to take with us, but we do have the love of God and the promise of a life for all eternity. Excuse me. So we do need to think about the 75%, not to criticize them, not to judge them. That's not our job. We leave that to God. But our job is to pray for them, to be an example to them, to occasionally remind them what a gift God has given to us. I am the bread of life, he said. I want to feed you so that you also have life. But like God, always respecting us, says, but you have to want it too.